from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
And I wonder, come on, just tell something to me, Evan. Sorry,
some people,
man,
who are themselves not great can create greatness. Or not great anymore.
It's just sad what's happened to them. That is, if I would come out for a prize fight, that'd be the song.
Well, the people on YouTube and Twitch can't hear it, so who are you referring to?
Oh, are you kidding me? So when I did the freestyle years ago, that's why I didn't hit. They couldn't hear the beat.
I don't know if I was around for that.
That idea.
The freestyle.
Remember you go, goo, I said, Evan, can you clip that? And you're like, they couldn't hear the music. Well, I'll never do it again.
I heard you freestyle in the caddy like every Friday.
Well, there's music there, yeah.
Freestyle Fridays. Maybe we can break that out.
Evan is back.
Yes, back from Sweden, back from Stockholm. Stein and I traded places across the pond. He's out in London, though. I don't know if he's going to be swimming in the English Channel. Did he? Yeah.
Asking if the Giants have two back-to-back off days. No, they got two in a week.
Come on, Stein. Yeah, you don't get 2 days off in baseball unless it's a deadline. Or unless it's an All-Star break.
That's a part of me that will never die.
Oh, like, dude, return the personal text, bruh.
Well, that maybe that's what it was. He was texting me one-on-one.
Okay, yeah. That's it.
He didn't want you to be a part of it.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl squad. We got to change the name of that vine, by the way.
We were in Vegas, though.
Yes, we
what
were.
What happens in Vegas
so
stays in Vegas.
We were the Niners.
Man.
And they also, unfortunately, their win stayed in Vegas, and the Chiefs took it. We are going to talk about the Niners in a little less than half an hour, 12:30. Mark Schlereth is going to join us because he had a couple of choice comments about Brandon Ayuk's holding in situation. He also touched on Trent Williams, which might be more concerning for fans and him holding out right now. But again, I think everything kind of centers around August 1st. That's the date that Deebo Samuel inked his deal in 2022. Ayuk hasn't gotten there yet, but it's getting close. And we'll discuss that coming up in about 10 minutes. But I do want to clean up the conversation about the Giants and the deadline, which again is tomorrow, Goo, at 3 o'clock. So by the time the Giants take the mound against the Oakland A's in the final Baybird series in San Francisco, by the way, they will know whether their team is the same, whether it's different, and basically what direction I think they are signaling the rest of the season to go in.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with Sam Lubman. I think they're going to stand pat, and I understand it right now. You feel like, forget who it was against, the Rockies, but Evan, you won four in a row for the third time this year. Hopefully, you know, this is the start that can get you back into contention, but I do expect them to stand pat.
Yeah, I think that's probably the place that they'll be. But, okay, let me ask you this then. Do you think it's because they want to stand pat or because there just isn't an offer out there.
There just isn't an offer. And I'm looking at the standings without knowing all the general managers or having them, their number on my iPhone. Evan, I just don't believe what you need is readily available. So now Roberts Jr., he's available. Maybe he could be had. But Evan, I do like him. And he had a monster 20. I just wouldn't give up on Ramos as easy as it sounds like you would. Now, you didn't say that across the board. But for Roberts, you would be like, you know what? I think Ramos is, I'm not telling you he's the next Kevin Mitchell or Willie Mays, but what's not to like right now? And I want to see more of him. Now, I don't want to say he's scuffling, but he's come back to earth a tad bit. But Evan, you put him in a lineup with some other guys like himself, maybe you'll get a better version of him. But him being homegrown at this point, I got to feel like right now he's off limits.
See, I don't think anybody should be off limits for the Giants. Like, I mean, seriously,
wow.
if they were that untouchable, where would the Giants be right now? I think they'd be in a better position. I don't think there's anybody in the Giants that is untouchable outside of maybe Logan Webb, you know, because you have him under control and he's proven himself to be a great and, you know, a piece you can pencil in. Nobody else has proven much of anything to me, quite frankly, on this roster.
That is deep. I understand. Let me throw this at you real quick. What if this is a Kuminga or Moody type of thing to where maybe if Ramos had got the opportunity sooner and guys were on their job, and I'll just throw Luciano not being able to field is what are you guys doing down there? But my point being, what if we could have saw this from Ramos if he would have, not a scholarship, been given the opportunity earlier? You do scratch your head as to, at least I do, Evan, where would he be now?
Well,
how more season would he be? Just a thought.
But
rather than yanking his chain up and down, get on Amtrak, come back, get on Amtrak, you know, at the corridor. Like, where would he be had you afforded him that luxury?
It is an expensive Uber. I guess this is where we see things differently. When a player finally produces at the level that Ramos is, and again, I wouldn't suggest trading him because he's, you know, had a bad couple weeks.
Ain't the all-star team. I know.
Yeah, no. I completely agree with you. He's got 15 home runs. He's driven him 53 runs this year. He's got an OPS near 900. Like, he's been a damn good player this season. But I just look at the development track as being, if he's doing this right now and he's 24 years old, like, isn't that a sign that they probably did something right with him? You know, like not to say if they brought him up earlier that they would have completely destroyed his, you know, his career arc, but I don't look at the 70 games that I've seen from Ramos this year and say, wow, you know, what if he came up and played 60 games last year? Because honestly, the first 36 games that he played in the show, his last two seasons, he failed.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't very good. So the fact that he's gotten there now, to me, is impressive, but that's also a win for Farhan. I'm sorry,
but wouldn't, and I get you, you got me with that one. But wouldn't that put him under what you kind of just went against, untouchable? Wouldn't you be so excited about his growth and what you just talked about that, you know what? You're going to be a fixture, or you're going to have the opportunity to be a fixture here. What I don't like about what I'm hearing about the Giants real quick, Evan, is just because you got one, you can't have two. Like, that's how you build a team and you get good, is you have multiple. But it just feels like there is such a bind or a pinch, or the president of baseball operations is under the gun. Like, I'm hearing too many solutions to the said problem is whatever's good, it can't be, you can't add to it. And it's kind of frustrating.
No, but if you're going to add the way that you want to get a big name player, you're going to have to give up something. And I think if you're looking at the Giants right now and you're a team that's a seller, right? You're a bottom feeder. You don't want Chapman. You don't even want Snell. Like, why would the White Sox want Blake Snell?
Yeah, right.
They're going to want some of your young players, and you have to be willing to give some of them up. That's why a couple years ago, this is why the word untouchable to me does not apply to Helyon Ramos.
Wow. That's interesting, man.
Because a couple years ago, you said that Marco Luciano was untouchable. You said that Kyle Harrison was untouchable. Well, okay, then you're not getting Juan Soto. You're not getting Vlad Jr. You're not getting Luis Robert. You're not getting any of these players that can legitimately elevate your lineup and that are established, proven, productive players.
So how deep is what you we're supposed to fertilize Farhan. Okay, let's just say you're right, Evan, but there should be some more names, the Eldridges of the world, to where that would be sexy enough to get another team bite, where you could keep a Ramos and still add that big bat. It feels like, you know, the list is dwindling in regard to what's to be excited about. Because all I've heard these last 5 years was Luciano, Ramos, and Matos. And now we're kind of in Harrison. And Harrison hasn't been bad, but Evan, I'm no scout. He looked like he's just going to be okay. And he may go above and beyond that and be a perennial all-star. But right now, he just seems like a guy. So where's that depth, Farhan, if we're just speaking on the farm? Why does it just have to stop, you know, at Ramos to where he's got to be included? Not throwing that at you. I'm just looking at everything. Maybe this is why this dude should have been ran already.
No, I think that's a fair question, though. And the 925 is chiming in with the same sentiment, which is Ramos is your best hitter and you'd trade him. Yes. Yes, wow. I would. Because I think that I could get a better hitter for him that is also going to be around for a while. So unless you believe that Ramos can be a 30 to 35 per year home run hitter, which Luis Robert, when he's healthy, is, I mean, that's the risk that I would be willing to take. You know, I'm sorry, like I don't think Helio Ramos is going to be the next Eric Davis.
Right.
I don't think he's turning into Brady Anderson. So if I can go get a player that is established and that is controllable, I would be willing to do that. You know, maybe I'm smoking pixie dust, and you know, across the pond they got some different things. But that's what I would be willing to do.
Yeah.
And I think in order to get better, if you are to buy, which some people at the station believe is the way to go. Other people believe that selling and moving off of everybody is also the direction.
I think we got more of those people here. I don't want to speak for anybody.
Selling?
Yeah, selling.
That's fair, because I also think that Farhan has not really inspired a lot of people to, even if they go out and buy. Like, for example, they spent $200 million this offseason.
Oh, my goodness.
They're throwing praises left and right, and praise Farhan, and Zaidi's the man, and he got this guy and that guy, and how did he get Blake Snell? He got two, the back-to-back Cy Young winners. He got another Cy Young winner, Robbie Ray, and kaput. Like, they're two games below 500.
Wow, Evan.
So the crowd that says it doesn't matter what Farhan touches, he's the opposite of Midas, it's not turning to gold, it's turning to dust.
That's a four.
That's valid, too. I'm inclined to believe that there's still some meat on the bone left in this season. And I would like to add to it as opposed to take away from it.
I'm with you. And if my job is remotely on the line, and I've been a failure pretty much my whole tenure, Evan, I'd be a fool to go pull that plug with a third of the season left. And my team, again, after yesterday's win, that's the most we've won for the third time. Like, now you got the A's, and you talked about the schedule. And Carter was saying, if the Giants are in any position to point the finger, like, you know, what if this is the start of 12 out of the next 15? Who knows where this thing goes?
Yeah, and I think, look, there are also fair questions about what other prospects could you get? You know, could you give up Matos or maybe Wisenhunt or Eldridge for a guy like Robert? I just think that it would take a Ramos-esque talent to court someone like that and bring him back. And the reason why Ramos would work to me is because you're kind of replacing the same fit. You know, you would get a center fielder back who at his best can hit 35 home runs and can be maybe not a gold glover, but a pretty damn good outfielder.
While you were over in the pond, then some balls have been
falling. I think he's a better defender than Ramos.
Some balls have been falling, man.
But yeah, he's also, you know, that's what people want. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz. That's Daryl the Guru Johnson. Let's talk to one of our favorites. Rich is out in Fremont.
Rich, man.
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm out here trying to make sure you guys don't have any bugs or any rodents. And y'all know we do that through ACCO. That's
yeah,
what we do.
Man. You get that paper, baby.
Yep. So anyway, the rat's on the table about this whole thing. And I know everybody wants to see a better, you know, ball club out there. And so do I. But the reality of the matter is this. They went and spent that money. They went and got these guys, you know, they DFA'd Nick Ahmed, okay? And that was not a good look because he came back with the Dodgers and knocked one out the park. So I think if they give up anybody right now, it's probably going to end up being the same where it's going to go wrong. I say you keep everybody. You don't sell. You keep everybody. The pitch is going to pick up. It will. It will pick up. This is going to be a different team in the next 10 games. Mark my words. Thanks, fellas.
I love the optimism, Rich. Yeah, I sure hope so.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of beatable teams coming
and
up as well.
And that's a big part of this, too.
Yeah, I mean, they got, what, a bottom 10 strength of schedule left? I mean,
You would think.
You would hope that they'd be able to make connection right over the next 10 games.
That's why when you're gone and they come out the break losing 2 or 3.
Oh, my God.
That's to the Rockies, yeah. That's unacceptable. But then you look at the totality of the season. There you go.
10-3
here, Goo.
10-3. Yeah. Are there any other trade pieces out there for the San Francisco Giants that you would use if you are of the mindset of buying? If you're selling, well, what do you want back? Like, is it a prospect? Is it a win now player? Is it a position player? Is it more pitching? You know, what would you want to replace now? What would you want out there? Let's talk to Josh in San Francisco.
Josh
wants to focus in on Kyle Harrison.
How's it going?
What's up, Josh?
Hey.
Yes, sir. So I think Kyle Harrison would be quite a piece. His velo dropped 2 miles an hour since last year. He went from 95 to 93 on his fastball. Doesn't have as much, you know, pitch selection as Birdsong would. So I think he'd be a good piece to move for a position player.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And we appreciate it, Evan. I'll never forget. It was like his third start. Nobody cares. I text Shasky like he was built up to me like he was Randy Johnson.
Like his Carlos Rodon.
Yeah, that's not his fault. And, you know, Shasky, to his credit, gave me always, like he does, his honest assessment. Not saying he was bad, but Evan, you know, he wasn't that guy. He's not a Randy Johnson-esque type of pitcher, but he's been okay. But I do wonder now, after, you know, I don't want to say a million starts, but, you know, people know what he can do, and I'm not robbing him of his future, but Harrison just seems to be a guy to me.
Yeah, but guys are valuable.
Yeah.
Like, not everybody's going to be Paul Skeens. Not everybody's going to come up and be even Tarek Skubal, okay, who wasn't a number one prospect up until his later parts in the minors. I'm talking about this Tigers pitcher is probably going to win AL Cy Young.
Yes, sir.
And he's also available at the deadline. I just don't think the Giants
may face him because they play the Tigers.
Yeah, and you probably hope that he gets traded by then. I don't think they'll move him because he's that good. But not everybody's supposed to be the young, you know, up-and-coming fireballer that's just going to blow away
lineups.
Well,
I guess the question then, Evan, is what could you really, because I brought up Conforto, two different players. One's older, younger, but what kind of haul do you think Harrison could fetch you?
By himself?
Yeah, or who would you put a Conforto in there? I don't know.
Well, let me put it this way. I don't think that if you do want a big upgrade, I don't think that Kyle, you would only involve Kyle Harrison in a deal that fetches you something big,
right,
in my opinion. And I don't think that at this point, with what he's shown, he would be the centerpiece of a deal.
And I agree with you. And let me just, this
so
is
his
random
stock has fallen a little bit.
Yeah. This is random, but Evan, to the people that think the Giants are boring or don't want to, you know, their brand of baseball right now, they're not feeling it. They're still rooting. This is no shade at the list I'm about to run down real quick to you.
Okay.
Yaz, Lamont Wade Jr., what's my guy, Estrada, and Flores.
Oh, Flores.
And Conforto. Like, I'm kind of overwatching that era of Giant baseball. And those dudes are bringing something to the table. But can you understand, like, this far down the road in Farhan's tenure, I thought we'd be past that.
I mean, I think Lamont's pretty good. He's proven himself.
Pops would get mad at me because he's a big Lamont Wade Jr. But, like, he's not the future, Evan.
No, but again, baseball is a 24, 25-man roster. So you can't just, if you're going to strip it down to bare parts, you're going to have a lot of holes that you have to fill. You're going to need to replace a lot of players. So, sure, together, Lamont, Yaz, Flores, Conforto, and Estrada.
Yeah,
those five guys.
Yeah. Estrada,
you know, maybe not
right
all
now
of them are a part of your future,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you probably need a couple of them.
Yeah. And I'm not saying you don't, but they just, when I hear those names, I kind of feel like when people say they're boring, those guys more than others kind of go with that.
But
you could be like, "Goo, you're being unfair," well, especially to Wade Jr.
Yeah, but no, but I think that's why someone like a Robert or a Guerrero is so valuable to an order. The reason why, to our caller a couple calls ago, brought up the fact that, I think it was Rich, said, "You know, we got rid of Nick Ahmed. He's going to come and kill us with the Dodgers." Well, the reason why he's going to kill you with the Dodgers is because he's not hitting around Yastrzemski, Conforto, you know, Estrada, and Wade.
Wow.
He's hitting around Ohtani, Freeman, when he returns, Betts, and Teoscar Hernandez.
Just incredible. If you don't think that matters, then you don't know ball.
Yeah, and also Nick Ahmed is not going to be on the team for very long because they just traded for a better utility infielder named Tommy Edman, who also has a gold glove. So he's just a stopgap, and that's what he was for the Giants. The issue was he had to be a stopgap at shortstop for 50 games.
Man.
That's almost a third of the season. That's far too long for a player, in my opinion, that is past his prime, though. I do want to switch gears just for a moment, Goo, because we've
been gone, man. You've been gone.
I've been tapping in. I've been reading, been listening to you guys a little bit.
From you. That's all. That's why I was excited. I know we come out with the Giants, and rightfully so, but there's so much in the Evan chamber I want to hear about.
And we'll kind of spread it out throughout the week. You know, I got some lessons from across the pond, learned a lot, gained some perspective, and I'm just happy to be back with you guys because also a big topic right now is 49ers training camp. And in 10 minutes, we're going to talk to Mark Schlereth, who works out in Denver. But he had some interesting comments about Brandon Ayuk and his hold in. Because the day that I left, actually, Goo, was the day that Ayuk requested a trade.
Okay, I remember.
And I don't know if people believe still that he's going to be traded, he's not going to be traded. No. But Schlereth was asked on his podcast, the Stinkin' Truth podcast, and we're going to talk to him about it again in 10 minutes, what he thought about it, what he thinks about Ayuk as a wide receiver. So let's just kind of go through it.
All right.
And whether or not we'll start with Schlereth, if he thinks Ayuk deserves to be paid.
I'm here, but I'm not fully participating.
Yeah, I think it's chicken.
Drop a set of and don't show up or show up. And if you're going to show up, and you can be around your teammates, and you can be in the locker room, and you can be do that. Don't let them go out and do all the work, and you just sit around. Yeah, you know, either have the to sit out or come to camp and participate. I think the sit-in stuff is, I think it's, I don't know, it feels like it's toothless to me.
Wow.
All right, so apologize, that was the wrong cut, but you get the gist.
Puberty and everything, he came up with that one, but I guess, Evan, I got to ask you, when did the hold in start? Because it sounds like he's from the old school where that fine money pod up. But I got to believe his teammate. And I'm going to ask him, I don't believe his teammates feel as strongly as or at all. I thought it was about if Evan's trying to get his chicken, I'd be quiet and let that. I don't even comment on it. But he thought it was chicken. You know what? The players know what time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's also commenting from a player's perspective. And that's why I want to get into it with him because, you know, he comes from a different generation, a different time.
Hold out, no hold in.
Well, yeah, but he also played in a time where there was no social media. You know, you couldn't, like, scrub your social when you're mad at a team. And also what he would feel like if, say, I don't know, you know, John Lynch, who he was teammates with the Broncos. If John Lynch held in, like, how would he feel about that?
Wow.
You know, would he say something to him or would it just be a part of the game? Because he also had something to say about if Ayuk is sitting out, then he should just kind of sit out.
I totally respect you wanting a new deal and you having outperformed the deal you're currently under and you sitting out. I as a player, I completely respect that. And that is your right. And I'm 100% on board with you, but have the yarbles to sit out, but don't come and just lollygag around. Hey, be careful out there, boys. It's really dangerous. You're like, you know what? If you're going to show up, then show up. I think the sit in thing is just hokey.
The sit out thing is hokey.
Yeah.
The sit-in thing. Yeah, just sit out.
Because that's new. That's fit for him. You know, we talked, he's a former player, but man, so it looks like Brandon Ayuk is not the author or the inventor, no Kurt Flood, of the sit-in, you know, the hold-in. But it sounds like Mark is more upset with the hold-in thing than Brandon Ayuk, who's utilizing it.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
No, and I think it also has to do with the fact that he doesn't believe that Ayuk is worth top 10 wide receiver money.
We'll get into it.
But, you know, if I'm Ayuk, I think holding in is probably the only piece of leverage you have left.
But if that's part of it too. Is it even leverage?
No, but you're not just going to give up because the team says, well, it doesn't matter. We're just going to.
Well, what Mark's talking about is the caveman era. He said toothless, be at home, and then miss game check. I know we got to go, and miss game check. Like, come on, Mark.
And yeah, missing game checks.
Five money calls.
I think it's 50 G's.
Yeah, boy.
That's a pretty penny. And I don't know if Ayuk has that unless he gets paid. So we'll talk to Mark Schlereth about that on the other side coming up on 95.7 The Game, presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. Evan Giddings, Daryl the Goober Johnson coming up next on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Mark Schlereth, Stink, three-time Super Bowl champ. Going to talk about Brandon Ayuk and the San Francisco 49ers on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson. Pleased to be joined now by Mark Schlereth, NFL Fox, also works in Denver, and of course joins us courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Also host on the Stinkin' Truth podcast and Odyssey Original. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Stink.
Yeah, hey man, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Well, I was just listening to the Stinkin' Truth podcast this weekend, and of course, a lot of 49ers fans were as well. Your comments specifically about Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams, kind of the direction of this offseason. And so I kind of wanted to start first with Ayuk and, you know, this idea of holding in as opposed to holding out, because Trent is holding out, Ayuk is holding in. This seems like a very recent development or strategy that players are using. And you, as someone that's been in those locker rooms, I guess my first question would be, you know, how would you look at a teammate if they had 1 foot in, 1 foot out in regards to Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like if you're going to hold out, hold out. Like, but I get it. You know, you're trying to ultimately not get fined or whatever. You know, I don't know. I mean, you're there. Like you said, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I just am more a believer if you're going to send a message, I mean, send a message, you know, drop a set and send a message. Don't show up. But I don't know that it really matters that much either way. You know, I mean, obviously he wants a new deal and he's asked for a trade. And I guess the one thing I don't want a bunch of negative energy at camp. I would just like when a guy comes in, he's ready to work. He's ready to be a part of the team. I don't want that negative energy. And I'm not saying that he is giving negative energy. It just feels, you know, it feels that would be a potential of a disgruntled employee, you know, sitting around and not actually participating, that it would be an opportunity to, you know, to create some negative energy and to put that around some of your young players. And I'm not a fan of that. You know, I'm not a fan of that type of atmosphere. I just know how hard it is to win championships. I know how close they've been in San Francisco. I know the kind of, you know, sacrifice and the kind of teammate you have to be to have those things happen for you. And that just feels like it creates negative energy to me.
Mark, let me take you, you help me out. Let me take you back to draft night when the Niners took Pearsall. I was shocked because I was like, man, the Niners got two of the most unique wide receivers in Deebo and Ayuk. And now Ayuk wants to get paid like a Tyreek Hill or Jaden Waddle or Justin Jefferson. But I still haven't computed in my mind why they needed Pearsall. I'm not Kyle. Now they don't want to pay Ayuk. My question to you, Mark, is, what group do you have Ayuk in? Like, how good of a receiver is he in that group with the top tier receivers to you? How good is he?
Well, I would tell you this. You know, I've done enough 49er games over the last couple of years that when you talk to the opponent and their defensive coordinator, their priority isn't Ayuk. We got to figure out a way to shut down Ayuk. The philosophy is, hey, man, if Ayuk beats us, then so be it. The philosophy is we got to shut down the 49ers' unique running game. We got to shut down Christian McCaffrey. We got to shut down the dual threat of Deebo Samuel, not only running the ball, but catching the ball and his yards after catch. You know, we've got, and the next guy might be George Kittle. You know, so you're talking about, you know, when you look at how stacked they are and how good they are schematically and the players that they have. Hey, listen, this is no offense to Brandon Ayuk. I know people get offended, you know, but he really is the third option. Maybe, you know, maybe the fourth. in that offense. And I know that he's got more catches than everybody else. I get that. But, like, there are coordinators that are trying to force the ball to him over, you know, over getting it to McCaffrey and everybody else. So, again, where would I put him? Do I think he's in the same conversation as, you know, do I think if he lined up at the X receiver where they're rolling coverage to him and they're jamming him with the safety over the top and they're doing all the, you know, doing the, do I think he would line up with Justin Jefferson or A.J. Brown or Devontae Adams or, you know, some of those top tier guys? And the answer for me is at this particular point in time, no. But until he gets into a system like that, I guess we'll never know. But, you know, I look at it like, do I think he's elite? Do I think he's one of those elite matchup guys that make you shake in your boots as a defensive coordinator? No, I don't.
Mark Schlereth joining us on the River Islands guest line. You can check out his Odyssey original podcast, The Stinkin' Truth, and discussing a bevy of subjects really over the weekend concerning the 49ers. And I imagine that one of the reasons why people are pocket watching, whether it's Ayuk or, you know, Trent Williams wanting guaranteed money, it's kind of there's this looming contract of Brock Purdy, which he is eligible for in March of 2025 next season. And look, Tua Tagovailoa just got 53 per year. You know, Trevor Lawrence is getting 55 per year. Jordan Love. All of those quarterbacks are a little less, at least on paper, less accomplished than Brock Purdy. I'm not asking you to necessarily rank them stink, but I'm curious, when you are looking ahead at what you are going to probably have to pay him, doesn't that also factor into Ayuk's place in the present? Because Brock Purdy at this point might be a $60 million quarterback next year.
Yeah, and that, it's crazy when you start thinking about all the different guys they're going to have to pay and, you know, and who's on the books, who comes off the books, how you manage the books. One thing about the cap is that it's fungible. I mean, you can manipulate it any way you want to manipulate it. And, you know, you can always come back to guys and renegotiate, and lower their cap value, you know, and create space and all that. But, yeah, Brock Purdy is a guy that, obviously, last year, right up into that Baltimore game, I mean, he was the leading candidate for MVP. He played that well throughout the entirety of the season. And I don't think that that's going to change. I think he is outstanding. And he plays with a bit of a chip on his shoulder. And I personally, I love it. I love the way he approaches the game and the fact that, you know, that he was Mr. Irrelevant and that dude's got some competitiveness to him. So yeah, you're trying to manage that. You're trying to manage, you know, which direction you're going to go in and how much you're going to have to pay Brock Purdy and, you know, and then developing younger players along the way also. So yeah, there's a lot of juggling going on there with San Francisco. But again, like, Brandon Ayuk is a fine player. He's a really good player and he's incredibly productive. But, you know, again, when you're game planning the 49ers, he's maybe third on that list of guys you got to take away. So do you pay that guy? I mean, I would ask you guys, do you pay the guy who's the third option, you know, top receiver money? Part of this, but before you answer that, part of this is my belief that a receiver in a game where everybody's dependent on one another to produce, the most dependent position in football is receiver. So, I mean, I'm not one of those, oh, we're just one wide receiver away from winning a championship. I think the next time that happens will be the first time it happens. But I would just sit here and ask you guys, do you think he's worth top 10 money?
Wow, Mark, that's the million-dollar question. I'll say this. I think Brandon Ayuk is a top 12 receiver in the league. I do wonder what happened on the Super Bowl. In the Super Bowl, 6 targets, 3 catches. Was that because of the offense or what was around him? I don't know. But what bothers me, Mark, and why I keep bringing this up is I'm leaning towards no, because why would Kyle and John draft another receiver? They had, am I wrong to think maybe they thought about life without Ayuk?
Yeah, no, I don't think you're, I think they're making choices. And I think that's part of, you know, how the game is played in the salary cap era is you sit there and say, okay, like who of all our guys that, you know, handle the football and all our guys that are kind of quote unquote weapons, which guys can we not live without and which guys are we willing to move on from? And every time, every team has to make those decisions. And I think we've all seen it over the course of the years where a number two receiver, a guy that's, you know, a secondary target, a guy that's like a really good player, you know, leaves and gets a chance to be number one. And then you're always like, well, what happened to that guy? Like, you got to understand kind of what you are, too. And listen, man, he's been great. And where he started, you know, because he was in the doghouse with Kyle Shanahan early in his career on several different occasions. And what he's become the last couple of years is remarkable. Good for him. But again, I still don't look at him like I'm going to pay him to be a top 10 receiver. Mm. Part of that, understand that part of that is the way I feel about receivers. I think they're a little bit on the overrated side to me.
Mark Schlereth is joining us via the River Islands guest line here on 95.7 The Game. And Mark, well, in that case, let's go into the trenches, a place you're very familiar with, because the other part of this is Trent Williams, who is, he's not 1 foot in, 1 foot out. He is both feet out. He is officially holding out. And it's because he doesn't have any guaranteed money left on his deal, despite, I think, 2 or 3 years left. First, you know, kind of what's your read on that situation, but also then as a teammate, for example, if I think that Trent Williams is far more of a priority, not just for me, but also for the 49ers, than getting Brandon Ayuk's deal done. He is more important to what they do. He protects arguably the most important position in sports, and he paves the way for Christian McCaffrey, which is who the offense runs through anyways. But as a teammate, if someone like Trent Williams and that contract costs you a potential Brandon Ayuk, you know, do you look at Trent as a guy that he's trying to get every penny, but it might cost you a teammate? Like, kind of, how do you juggle that dynamic in the locker room when someone is trying to get paid?
Well, I think one of the things, you know, they always talk about, and you know, in any locker room, is you don't talk about anybody else's money. You know, it, like, you just keep that to yourself. But Trent Williams is, I mean, that dude's a legend. Like, I saw him, I was doing the Washington game last year in Washington. I saw him in the lobby. I'd never really met Trent Williams before, and I totally fangirled on him. I completely left my producer and my director and ran over like a super fan. And the dude is legit one of the top players in the last, you know, in the last quarter century. The guy is, he just absolutely dispenses justice, and he is a guy that they will, like, guys on the team will stop and watch him practice. Like, stop what you're doing. Oh, Trent's doing one-on-ones and we're not doing anything. Let's stop and watch him. Like, he's that legendary a player. And so, and based upon the way they run the ball and all the different things they do, that's a guy that you have to, like, you have to sign. So, I think everybody has such respect for what he's done over a 14-year career, and the fact that he doesn't look like he's slowed down at all, that if it costs you, you know, Ayuk, so be it. But that dude deserves every penny, and he deserves guaranteed money. And I don't have any qualms with the way he's going about his business.
Gotcha.
Mark, you got 3 Super Bowl rings with Kyle's pops, so you know what it is to win the big game. You do radio. We talk to fans all over, and fan is short for fanatic. We got a saying on the show, right on the table, that's basically elephant in the room, and I believe Kyle should have, and the Niners, 2 Super Bowl victories over the Chiefs. They don't, Mark, and my question to you is, is there a monkey on Kyle's back? Because I've called him a genius when it comes to offense. They've been to multiple championship games where they could have got back to the Super Bowl. He owns it. But Mark Schlereth, why hasn't Kyle won the big game? And how much pressure is on him?
Yeah, no, I think a ton of pressure is on Kyle. And they have had, you know, arguably the best roster in football the last couple of years. And haven't been able to come away with a victory, you know, and that's a shame, because, you know, I've known Kyle since he was 14 years old or 12 years old. And, you know, I'm a big Kyle Shanahan fan. You know, there's some quarterback missteps that happened the first Super Bowl against Kansas City where, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo missed a couple throws late in that game that would have sealed the victory for them. And, you know, you end up turning the ball back over and giving Mahomes an opportunity to end. And then last year, inexplicable, when you decide to take the ball and give Patrick Mahomes a situation where, even if you, even if you, you know, pinned him inside the 5 yard line on kick cover, he's in four down territory.
Mm.
Like that was just a, to me, a coaching gaffe. And so those things, you know, those things you've got to hold them accountable for, no question about it. But, he's done that, you know, where everybody else is spending all this money on quarterbacks. He's done that with Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's done it with Brock Purdy. And you know, I think that year, the year before last, where they lost the NFC Championship to Philadelphia, when Purdy hurt his elbow, I think they'd have been at that one too. So, because I think they would have beat Philadelphia. So anyhow, it's one of those unfortunate situations. But it's been a kind of a confluence of several different issues. Some of them coaching, you know, mistakes or gaps. You know, player execution. Yeah, I mean, I know one thing. If Chris Jones is on the line of scrimmage, and I'm playing, that dude is getting blocked. You know, we're not gonna bust the protection and, you know, go to somebody on the second level and bypass Chris Jones, and that's probably a touchdown. You know, so that's a player gap. That Jimmy Garoppolo misses a through route to George Kittle that gets them inside the 15-yard line. And throws a little now route to the outside receiver at the time on third down and five, and they stop him. Like those are things. Like that was a predetermined mistake by Jimmy Garoppolo, who didn't read out the progression the way it's supposed to be read out. So like, things like that have happened to them in those critical moments, and you know, and so there's plenty of blame to go around, but you know, Kyle has to own that. You know, he's got to have his players prepared and ready to go, and they can't make those gaffes in those critical moments.
Stink, we'll get you out of here on this. And again, Mark Schiller is joining us on the River Islands guest line here on 95.7 The Game. I know that you've won all the big games that you've been in, but you've had six postseason chances. You know, you're familiar with the playoffs. What is the most difficult part of getting into training camp the next summer after the year where you didn't win at all, where you thought you had a team that was capable of doing it?
Yeah, just the, you know, the depth of the season, how long you play. You know, you play an extra three or four games, it beats you up a little bit, less time to recover. And then, you know, by the time you get back into the gym, sometimes it's I've got to go instead of I want to go. And so I didn't think that happens to you to a degree. Distractions, you know, can you manage the distractions of, you know, celebrity and fame and opportunity and all those things? So there's a lot of little things. Guys want their money. Guys, you know, feel like I'm slighted. I need a new contract. I need this money. I need that. Like, so there's a lot of little things, you know, but when the season, you know, training camp opens, man, you got to set all that stuff aside when you walk in. That's why I'm just like, I would rather you not walk in and handle your business. Like, hey, sit out, handle your business, get your contract agreed to, and then come back, than to come hang around and not have your business done, not have your contract done, and be there but not participating. So, you know, the difference between the way Trent's handling, you know, his discrepancy or his, you know, wants, and the way Ayuk is handling his.
Yeah. Do you believe in a Super Bowl window, Mark? And if so, do you think the Niners are close to the end of theirs?
Well, you know, I mean, the Patriots were in a Super Bowl window for 20 years. So,
that's true.
I mean, it depends on, you know, how good your quarterback is and how good you are at retooling and revamping. And then, listen, when you get different players, and this is where Kyle is just awesome offensively, is when you have a different strength or different player strengths, how do you adjust what you're doing? And you don't change what you're doing, but you just adjust and manipulate what you're doing to benefit those players, to put those players in the best, you know, position to win. And, you know, I always talk about it, or like my career here in Denver with Mike Shanahan, right at the end of my career, it was just, I was brutal as far as a puller is concerned. My knees were bad, and I didn't run well. And that was stuff that I just couldn't really do. I did do effectively. So, like, that was one of those situations where Mike Shanahan was just like, okay, we're not going to run that.
Mm.
Because, like, I could run. I was really good run zone blocking and all that kind of stuff. So he was like, hey, man, let's not worry about X, Y, and Z. Let's just run A, B, and C. So if we want to run power or counter, we only ran it to the left. Right guard is the only guy who pulled on our offense. I didn't pull ever. So there are ways, depending upon the strengths of the players that you get, as you kind of revamp your football team, you've got to go, okay, what are my player strengths? Like, I think the biggest thing from a game planning standpoint is not attacking somebody's weakness. Like, everybody's got some weaknesses. It's not the biggest strength of an offense is not just your ability to attack somebody's weakness, but a bigger strength than that is to mitigate your own weaknesses. So to really be honest with yourself when it comes to what we are and what we aren't, and where we need to protect ourselves, and those things, I think, are, you know, that to me is coaching.
Gotcha, Mark. And again, you can get a lot more of this great breakdown on Odyssey Original Podcast, The Stinking Truth with Mark Schlereth. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Take care. Bye.
All right. And of course, you can also catch him on Sundays on Fox. But
I just appreciate the honesty, man. There is pressure on Kyle. That window.
And Mark Schlereth, by the way, joins us on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop?
Real quick, Evan, the window stays. His comp was New England about the window, and I love that question. But the window stays open when you win one. We're talking about when you, Buffalo, it didn't stay open. You had chances, you couldn't get it. So that's what scares me for the Niners, is you need everything to go, you know, health and all that. But Evan, it stays open for the Patriots because they won, and you're able to push it open. You know what I mean?
That's true. But I think when we talk about a Super Bowl window, it's can you contend? You know, can you get to the big game? You know, can you be one of the last two teams standing, and can you give yourself a chance to win it all? And the Niners have checked that box,
man,
but they haven't hoisted the Lombardi Trophy. So that's why I was curious, because like Schlereth has been to three Super Bowls. He's won them all.
Yeah.
Or been a part of three winning teams. But there are three other postseason teams that he was a part of, both one in Washington, or two in Washington, and then one with Denver, which they didn't win. And I'm sure, you know, he's playing for Joe Gibbs, he's playing for Mike Shanahan. Yeah. Like, you think you're going to win the Super Bowl, but you don't. So how do you kind of, I don't know if it's trick yourself or convince yourself that you are still at that level year after year when you know what it takes to get to the top of the mountain, but not see what's on the other side.
That's deep. And a lot of people on the text line, he's got a lot of get off my lawn vibes, but he's old school. He don't like to hold in. But I'll tell you what, Evan, you tell me if I'm wrong. He doesn't think Ayuk is a guy. You know, pretty good, but not a guy. And the million-dollar question that I have to you and Niner fans is, one, we won't have the answer until it rears its head. How is this thing going to end? And also, how good is how good are the Niners without Brandon Ayuk?
I mean, I don't think they operate at an optimal offensive level. But, okay, so the reason why he brought up New England is, I think, okay, one, the window is open because you have an all-time head coach and an all-time quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, that's really why. I mean, Belichick was able to get the best out of a defense, no matter what parts you had coming through. And then Brady was able to operate and
throw
get
the ball to anybody.
Whoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Randy Moss or, you know,
Edelman.
Chris Hogan.
Right.
I don't know. Whoever, you know, a lacrosse player. So it didn't matter. The Niners, I think, have a damn good one of, I don't know, however you slice it, he's a top three head coach in Kyle Shanahan, in my opinion.
I agree.
The question is, do you have the quarterback? And Brock Purdy hasn't given us anything so far to believe that he isn't. And if that's the case, then your window's probably open longer than just this year. But a lot of people have doubts about whether or not the roster around him is good enough to keep that going, to keep him at the level that he's been playing at. There's also some Giants news on the other side that pertains to Blake Snell that we got to get into per John Heyman. I think it actually is very interesting in regards to the Giants trade market and what they're going to do between now and 3 o'clock tomorrow before they face the Oakland A's tomorrow night, because that's what they got to decide. There's also something that Stink said about Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk, the comparison between the two.
Let's get to it.
I want to dig into that too a little bit on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. Also the number for the Xfinity Mobile text line. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz, Joe the Guru Johnson. We are back after this on 95.7 The Game. And a reminder to download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Doing my Steiny impression here. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.